to us by Mr. Andy Lausted.
Thank you, Mr. Turnblad, and good afternoon to everyone. Happy Sabbath. I'd like to welcome everyone who's listening on the webcast as well. Happy Sabbath to you. So I'll start out just by asking a question today. What is the gospel? And what is the gospel message? So I'm just asking this question as an introduction on this topic today that I'm going to be talking about. On the UCG website, there's an article called Where Does the Story Begin? It says the gospel message is, quote, is God's message announcing his plan and purpose for humankind. Jesus came to proclaim the wonderful news about God's plan and purpose. The focus of that plan is the kingdom of God, end quote. So how is it that from the New Testament time to now, this idea of the gospel message has changed so dramatically? There's different ideas, so many different ideas out there. And of course, it's because of time and deception that these different ideas have come about what this gospel message is since the very first century church. And Paul also commented on this. In Galatians, he commented on this gospel message that was changing during his time, that was being corrupted. And he warned the church at Galatia. He warned them not to be persuaded. Galatians 1, verse 6. And I'll just read this to you. Galatians 1, verse 6. Paul is writing here to the church. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel message. Verse 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So even at that time, there were changes in this message that Christ came to teach. And Paul was warning and was marveling that people were being persuaded by these false teachings. And just like then, today, we still have these false teachings, these different gospel messages that are out there. There's the idea of a prosperity gospel, like a health and wealth. There's the idea that the kingdom of God is living in our hearts, that it's not an actual kingdom. There's the idea that all you need to do is believe. Believe in Christ, and that's all you have to do, and you're saved. So, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about the gospel message? What is it? That's the topic for today. Kind of a review of this idea of the gospel message. What is it? I've organized it into five essential sections or points. The first one is, what is the gospel? The second is, what is the gospel that Jesus taught? The third one is, did the gospel message start with Jesus? Was he the first to bring it? The fourth is there more than one gospel message? And then I'll conclude with why this all matters. Why review it today? So let's jump into the first section that I'd like to cover. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? The translation of the word gospel, it simply means good news. Simply means good news. It's a good news message from God. And as I said earlier, from the quote that I read from UCG's website, it is the message of God's plan and purpose of humankind. The focus of this message is the kingdom of God. And so to say it another way, the gospel is all about God's plan. It lives in these words. that he's preserved for us, from one book cover to the other end, from Genesis to Revelation. The gospel message is simply God's word. It's pictured in his holy days. It's very much centers around Jesus Christ, and who came to share this message to the world and open the door to this future kingdom of God. So that's, in a summary, what the gospel is. And with that, I can sit down probably, and that will be the point of the message, and you don't have to listen to the rest of the sermon. But I did prepare some more, so I'll go through it. So a lot of this material came directly from UCG articles and booklets, just for your reference. So I want to just say that the focus of the gospel message is the kingdom of God. But why do we say that? How can we know that? The next section, I think, will help answer that question. Why is it the focus of the gospel message? And that's section number 2, which I'd like to cover today. And that is, what is the gospel message that Jesus Christ taught? What is the gospel message that Jesus Christ taught? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all describe this central theme that Christ taught when he came for the first time. So let's look at a few scriptures and review this central theme of Christ's ministry. We'll start over in Mark, in the book of Mark, chapter 1. What is this gospel message that Christ taught? Mark 1. So it's important to note here that this is right at the start of Christ's ministry, right at the very beginning. Mark 1, verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, verse 15, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is right at the start of Christ's ministry. And we're given a summary of the message that Christ was delivering, which centered on the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of God. And it says that we not only believe in this message, don't just believe, we also have to take action. We have to repent and believe. Let's take a look at the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke 4, verse 43. These are Christ's own words, Luke 4, verse 43. Says, "But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent.'" In the book of Luke, Christ in his own words is talking about the purpose of why he was sent, to preach the kingdom of God to the cities, essentially to preach the kingdom of God to the world at that time, to spread this message, this good news message to the cities of that time. And then over in Luke 8, it confirms this is exactly what Christ was doing, exactly what he did. Luke 8, verse 1. "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." So here, glad tidings can also be translated as preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. And it's confirming that this is exactly what Christ did. He went to the cities around that in that time to preach the gospel. This good news message. And then even after Christ's death and his resurrection, we can see there's a very similar focus at that point as well. And that's over in Acts, verse 1. Acts chapter 1. This is after Christ's death, his resurrection. He was with his disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "To whom he also presented himself, alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So here he was with them after his resurrection for 40 days, teaching and preaching to them about things about the kingdom of God. So to summarize this first section, Scripture is telling us that the gospel message Jesus Christ brought was a good news message about the kingdom of God. And this is all about God's purpose and his plan for his creation and for all of us. That leads into point number three, or section number three. Did the gospel message start with Jesus Christ? Did he bring it for the very first time? Was he the first to deliver this message to humankind? And before I answer that question, I want to reiterate the gospel message. What is it? It's the God's message for the purpose and plan of for all of humankind, the focus of which is the kingdom of God. So to answer this question about did the gospel message start with Jesus Christ, let's turn all the way back to Revelation 14, verse 6. And we'll answer it here in this verse, and then we'll expand on it. Revelation 14 and verse 6. It says, "I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." Everlasting gospel. Did the gospel message start with Jesus Christ? The quick and short answer is no, it didn't. It's called an everlasting gospel. The message that Christ brought was a continuation. It was a message that God had revealed a long, long time ago. But very few had an understanding of it. Very few this message had been revealed to. Christ had to come to reveal this message to everyone. He had to come, and he was very pivotal in bringing this message, bringing it to all of us, to all of humankind, so that he could open the door to this future kingdom of God. So let's explore this a little bit more by looking at a few scriptures about did the gospel message start with Jesus Christ. First of all, Abraham heard the gospel message. Galatians 3, verse 8. Galatians 3 and verse 8. Abraham heard the gospel message. Galatians 3, 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So Abraham had been taught the gospel. He was aware of the gospel. And it was through him, through his seed, that God would be blessing all the nations of the earth in the culmination of the kingdom of God. Another point here. Israel heard the gospel. Israel heard the gospel. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest," this is a rest that's to come, the kingdom of God, "let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." Verse 2. "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So Israel had heard the gospel, but they failed to respond. They didn't have the faith that they needed. And again, God knew this. God knew all this was going to happen, and he prepared this from the foundation of the world. This is all part of his plan. Number 3, David heard the gospel. David heard the gospel. And this, Psalms 145, verse 10. Psalms 145, verse 10. This is a prophetic psalm talking about the future kingdom of God, when Christ would bring his kingdom to this earth. Psalm 145, verse 10 through 13. "All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power." Verse 12. "To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom." Verse 13. "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations." So in Hebrews 4, in Galatians 3, in Psalms, we see here in the words written down that the gospel was a message that was taught prior to Christ. But the Old Testament did not have all the puzzle pieces. The Old Covenant did not have everything, and there needed to be a greater understanding. And it had to come through Jesus Christ. He had to come to share this message. The Israelites did not have a full understanding. And it was only revealed to certain individuals. The Israelites did not understand that Christ needed to be our sacrifice. Even many during Christ's time did not understand this. The apostles initially did not understand this. They thought initially that Christ was bringing the United Kingdom of Israel at that time, that Christ would be their king at that time, a physical kingdom at that time. But it wasn't so. And it wasn't until Christ came that the gospel message was freely given to the entire world, freely taught to the entire world, to all who would listen, to all that would believe, to all that would have faith, to all that would repent. So I'll close this section by reading Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34, Christ describes at his return, he will reward those who have been faithful to his way of life. Matthew 25, 34. It says, Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25, 34. It reveals again that the gospel message, it started at the foundation of the world. It has been prepared a long, long time ago. The gospel message started as a mustard seed. It continues to grow today and build from Abraham to Israel to Jesus Christ to the first fruits and then to all of humankind. This is a message that is a thread throughout the entire Bible, and then it reaches this salvation into the kingdom of God. Section number 4. Is there more than one gospel? Is there more than one gospel message? In the intro, I referenced some other ideas about the gospel, the health and wealth gospel, other ideas, other teachings about the gospel. Is there more than one gospel message? We reviewed the gospel message that Jesus Christ taught, the message that he brought of the coming kingdom of God. But if we look at Scripture a little bit more, we read a bit more, we can see other words being used and associated with the gospel. For example, we'll read the gospel of Christ. We'll read the gospel of God. We'll read the gospel of your salvation. So I'd like to just review this briefly. Is there another gospel? Is there more than one gospel message? Let's turn to Romans 1, verse 1 for this. Romans 1, verse 1. Romans 1, verse 1. So here it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. So there's a reference to this gospel of God. Now let's jump down to verse 16. We'll see another reference. Verse 16, Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So, is there a discrepancy in Scripture? Is there more than one gospel? Does it conflict with this gospel message of the kingdom of God? And I think you know where I'm going with this already, but no, there's not a discrepancy, and it's all the same message, it's all the same gospel. It's all part of the same gospel message that Jesus Christ taught. And I like to think of the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom of God, more as an umbrella. And these are all aspects, these are all parts of that message. And they describe various parts of the gospel message. And we know that God always works in harmony. Everything he does fits together. And these are pieces of that message. So what is the gospel of God? The gospel of God simply means this message originated with God. He's the author of it. He started it. And we've touched on this, but the gospel message started at the foundation of the world. So that the gospel of God doesn't conflict. What about the gospel of Christ? Again, it's used in the same way, where the gospel of God, we know that God is the author of this gospel. The gospel of Christ is where Christ came as the messenger of this gospel to bring it to the world. And he needed to, as we talked about earlier, he needed to reveal this message to the world so that everyone would hear it and know it. And he made possible to us that we might enter this kingdom of God in the future through his death and resurrection. Let's take a look at another reference in Ephesians 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Here it talks about the gospel of your salvation. What about this one? Does this conflict with the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel message? Ephesians 1, verse 13. It says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Once again, does this gospel of salvation conflict with the gospel of the kingdom of God? It doesn't. Entrance into the kingdom of God is can be also be called salvation. Salvation is through Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. It's all part of the same message. And once again, Christ died so that we might live. One more. Ephesians 6, verse 15. Ephesians 6, verse 15. Here we're talking about the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6, verse 15. This is in reference to the armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 15 says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So here we're talking about the armor of God, putting on this gospel of peace. Does this conflict with the gospel of the kingdom of God? And again, it doesn't. This is the ultimate fulfillment of the kingdom. Peace is going to be part of the kingdom. Isaiah 9, verse 7 talks about the Prince of Peace, a king who will come and bring his kingdom to this earth, to all of mankind, and bring peace that will endure forever. So I'm answering this question, is there more than one gospel? The answer is that there's only one gospel. There's only one gospel message. And these are all terms that are used as part of this message. They reflect different aspects of it. And these different references emphasize different parts of this same amazing message, the same amazing plan and purpose. So I'd like to conclude with why this all matters. Why do we need to know about this gospel message? Why is it important? Why even review it today? Because there's a glorious, glorious, amazing future that's revealed through this gospel message. It's awaiting us. And it's been framed since the foundation of the world. God is and always has been in control. What does it mean for us now? What does this message mean for us now? It means that our relationship with God starts now. We're being called now. We have to respond now. We have to believe and repent. As Mark said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. In Isaiah 1, verse 18, it tells us another aspect of this gospel message that makes this kingdom of God possible. Isaiah 1, verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is a promise from God. Even though we sin, and sin every day probably, that our sins are going to be blotted out. They are forgiven through Christ. It's made possible through Jesus Christ, who has individually approached us, who wants us to be part of his family. This gospel message can be super encouraging. It's an awesome reality. And this message is not simply phrases in these books, in this book. It's not just something we read and skim over. It's a reality. It's a living message. It's alive and well. God architected it from the very foundation, from the very beginning. And I, myself, I have to always remind myself, this is not just head knowledge. This is not just something I read and put in my head. I have to remind myself that I need to let this sink in. Let this sink into my heart and that it's living there. That this is a reality that will be fulfilled. Each day, every one of us, we're in the trenches. We're doing battle. And it can be hard. And some days we lose this battle. But we get up the next day and we start over again. We put on this armor of God in Ephesians 6. We start over again. We ask God for help. And one of the things to keep on the forefront of our mind is this gospel message and this future kingdom of God that helps us win this battle each and every day when we're in the trenches. When we have that on our radar, I think it really helps. It helps me. Jesus encourages us to keep going. He encourages us when life is difficult. And he helps us by having this kingdom of God message at the forefront of our mind. So seek first the kingdom and keep that vision burning brightly.